This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm excited about this lesson today. I just have a question for you. Well, let me just say this. You know, I'm one of those kind of people that like to have you talk back to me. You know, I like to hear response. So hearing your response does two things. It helps me to preach better, and I may even be done faster. So if you want to get out of here early, talk back to me, all right? It's only 9:36. So you can make it to the, you know, the buffet before everybody else. If you talk back to me, you can get back in your bed before everybody else. If you talk back to me, we're going to have fun this morning, all right? Okay, but here's my first question. Does anybody like to travel? Anybody like to go different places? All right. What's your preference? Do you like to drive or do you like to fly? Okay, we have a mixed driving and flying, depending on where it is, right? So I know, like, for me, I like, if it's a longer duration or a place that takes a little bit longer, I like to fly because generally you get there a little bit faster if they don't delay you or if they don't cancel your flight, right? But most times I like to fly because it cuts the, you know, the travel times in half. But one of the things I have noticed, especially since traveling post-COVID, is when you go to the airports when you travel, I have noticed that it tests all 9 fruits of the Spirit. Traveling tests all 9 fruits of the Spirit. Because generally, you know, you get to find out if your fruits are grown, if they're ripe, or if you still let them things stay on the branch a little bit longer. Because, you know, you get there all early, and then you meet the first person, you know, at the check-in. Because a lot of times now they have it where you have to check in at the kiosk. You don't even go to the person. You go to this little kiosk, and they have one agent there who don't want to be there. And they see people are struggling trying to find their record locator or how to log in. And they're just not the most pleasant. So you have to put on that extra love, right? And then you finally get checked in. Ah, not again. Why is this happening to me? He is a lie, ain't he? Okay. What did I do wrong? Okay. Try it again. Yes. Right. Test of my fruits, right? Okay, all right, I'm all right. I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to let meekness, I'm going to let joy. Yes, all right. So we get past the check-in agent, and then we get to the TSA agent. You have your ticket. You got to show your ID, right? And that person don't want to smile. They're just, next. So when Pastor and I have started doing, we start saying, good morning, how are you today? So we make them almost speak. Some of them don't ever respond, but that's okay. Again, they're testing your fruits. So you get past the TSA agent, then you get to the security guy. Take all your laptops out your bag. One bag per person. You know, take off your shoes. Anything in your pockets? I'm like, okay. What is going on, right? So it's a testing of your fruits. But one of the things I have, you know, when I do travel, one of the things I think I don't like the most is that middle seat on the airplane. Anybody ever been in the middle seat on the airplane? Because one of the things, you know, I like to sit in the window seat. Because that way I'm over here in my little corner. I can put my head against the little wall, close my shade, and go to sleep. Occasionally, I'll look out to see all the beautiful things God has done. Hashtag beautiful, right? Pastor likes to sit over here on the aisle. He don't want nobody. He want to get up and go as he pleases. I don't want to have to walk over nobody. If I want to get up, I can get up. But I'm like, nah, that's too much commotion on this side. I like the aisle. But one thing about this middle seat, you're in between 2 people most time because, you know, most of the times you don't just go on the seat map and choose the middle seat. Right? You don't just want to go and sit between 2 people you don't know. In the middle seat, you're kind of like this. You don't even get an armrest like the people on the window and the aisle. You're just kind of stuck in the middle. You know, you're stuck in the middle between this unknown. And then it's like, okay, you're just uncomfortable because this person kind of on your seat. You don't know them. You want to be like, can you get over? Then this person, you know, it's kind of like just, in, you know, you can't get comfortable. But one of the things I've learned, you know, and, you know, as I've been pastoring, is that a lot of believers are often in the middle seat of their lives. uncomfortable, in the unknown. I know God has a plan, but I don't know the plan. So, but God says today, I'm going to help you in the middle of your miracle today, all right? So the first scripture I want to read to you is Numbers chapter 11. And this is exactly where the children of Israel were. They were en route to a destination. They knew where they were going, and Moses was their pilot, okay? So Numbers chapter 11, we're going to read this, and it says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that there were in the and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of that place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks," what is a leek? "And the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." So let's talk really quickly before I go further about this group of people that we see here in this scripture. Here we have a group of people. We have the children of Israel, as well as some, really some hanger-ons, the people that just kind of came along for the benefits, amen, because they said they were a mixed people. And so they were constantly complaining. The scripture says here that they wept again, or murmured and complained again about how things were no longer how they used to be. Like they were living as kings and priests in Egypt, right? Like it was just all good. They remember, you know, the food, but they seemed to forget, you know, how hard it was for them to get those luxuries, amen? So mind you, these were the same people who had seen God already at work in their lives many times before, you know, because God had told Pharaoh to let my people go, but Pharaoh would not do it, right? So God would send the frogs. What happened? So they saw God at work. God sent a plague of boils. God sent, you know, all these different plagues, but they saw God, you know, God had some power, right? So they're not, it's not that they were ignorant to who God was. So here we have them. God has already brought them to a place where they could be free, but yet they want to murmur and complain about how it used to be. So let me show you real quick in Exodus chapter 14 why I just felt this was just so unfair, because this is one of the many things that God had done for them. So Moses 14 and 13 through 18 says, "Moses answered the people," because again, they were murmuring and complaining again. He says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see them again. The Lord, he will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. So raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." So this scripture is one of the most clearest scriptures to me of what happens when you put your faith in Jesus. When you put your faith in Jesus, you'll see him go to work for you, amen? So can you picture this? The children of Israel walking through the Red Sea, you know, to their promised destination. They were faced with this water, this ocean, this sea before them, but they began to walk through it on dry ground. So for 400 years, they were in slavery. For 400 years, they were in bondage. For 400 years, they were in chains. But in just one moment, God delivered them. Amen. God brought them from being slaves to being saved. In one moment, God brought them from singing songs of sorrow to singing songs of joy. And in one moment, God brought them from being slaves to realizing that, you know what, I am somebody. And God loves me so much that he would send somebody just to deliver me. Why? In just one moment, because he realizes, you know, that they are my chosen people. So God came to take them to victory after 400 years. So, you know, we may be sitting around saying, you know, God, is this too hard for you? Because you haven't moved yet. It's taken God a long time. Has it been 400 years? No, it has not been that long, right? So I'm telling you today to trust God because he has not forgotten about you, amen? So there is no stronghold that your God cannot deliver you from. Why? Because he is mighty, he is strong, he is a great deliverer, amen? So you just keep trusting to God and your one moment can happen today, amen? So here's my first question. Let's go back to the scripture. Why did he save them? Why did he save those people who have been murmuring and complaining against him all this time? Let me just first say that it was not because, you know, they were the epitome of morality. They were not just these moral people, because it says here that they were those who were complaining, or those who didn't even know who God really was. It's not like God stood before them before they crossed the Red Sea and say, here are my 10 commandments. If you don't swear to uphold all these commandments, you're going to die right here at this Red Sea. So they were not like in this place of moral, you know, of cleanness, or that they were just so pure. That's why God did it. But no, so I also want to tell you that it was not because, you know, they had this great level of faith. Because again, it says they were a mixed multitude. So I'm sure there were some that were there that were of great faith saying, I told y'all God was going to deliver us. I told you God wouldn't leave us there for 400 more years. I'm sure there were those who were there who had great faith. But I'm sure there were also some that were there who didn't have any faith. Oh, Lord, all this water. Moses, don't you let your hand down. I can't swim in all this water. Right? So there were those who had great faith, and there were some who did not have any faith. But let me also tell you that it's not just because, but it was because that God heard their cry. Because God heard their cry, he responded. And the kind of God that we serve is he won't let you sit there and cry unto him and he not respond. So again, so whenever you cry unto the Lord, know that he hears you and he will deliver you. Let me also go back and say that you do have to have faith. Right? God responds to our faith. Amen? The great thing about God is sometimes you are blessed by association. Because of the faith of those around you, you sometimes get a blessing because they believe. So thank God that there are people around you who are believing so that I can get the dewdrops or the residue of their faith. Amen? Think about Abraham and Lot. You know, Lot was blessed because of why? Because of Abraham or Abram at the time. So sometimes you are blessed by association, but you have to use faith. We cannot always live off the faith of our belief, of our family members or of others. We have got to develop our faith. So God responded to them not because of who they were or because of this great faith, but he said, no, those are my children. I made a promise to them, and I'm not going to go back on my word. So just like God has made you a promise. Yeah, you may be in the middle seat. You may be in the middle of your storm, but God says, if you just keep following me and trust in me, you will get to your destination this morning. Amen? Amen. You will get to your destination. So in verse 5, again, we see them complaining about the things that they no longer had that they had in Egypt. What made them want to go back to what God had delivered them from? Because it was a place of familiarity. And so many times, you know, we get so used to how things were that we cannot go to what we're not used to. Amen. They knew the routine. I know I got to wake up today and work 22 hours out of 24 hours. They were used to just being slaves and being whipped, being mistreated. They could not really embrace this true freedom that God had given them. So that's why they wanted to go back to it. You know, they felt more comfortable and safe in the familiar, even if it caused them suffering. And sometimes it's easier for some to walk in what is familiar than to walk by faith and trust God. But today we have got to stop living in what's comfortable, hanging around the shallow end. But let's step out and let's do what God has called us to do. If he promised you the promised land, guess what? He gonna take you to the promised land if you just keep moving forward. Amen. He told them, tell them, just keep walking. So you just got to keep walking this morning, amen? Don't get stuck in your past and what is familiar because you're in the middle of your miracle. Keep moving forward this morning, amen? God has greater in front of you than what you have ever, ever experienced behind you. If you're heartbroken, guess what? Just keep trusting God. You're not sure what to do, what do you do? Just keep trusting God. He has a plan for you, and he will not disappoint you, amen? Even if you didn't feel like coming to church today, guess what? Keep trusting God. If you don't get anything out of this lesson today, keep trusting God. Amen? So I have 3 points for you today, guys. 3 points. We see that the children of Israel had a hard time of letting go and moving on from their past. And my first point to you today is be free from your past. Be free from your past. The enemy likes to constantly play videos of how things used to be. causing you to remain attached to your past, even if it wasn't happy. Even if it wasn't a good place, he keeps to like to keep you just thinking about those onions that you had in Egypt, those leeks that they had in Egypt. They kept thinking about all the things that they had. Again, they could not seem to associate the pain that was with, you know, the things that they did enjoy, because again, they were now in a place where they had to fully trust God. They knew that the Egyptians, yeah, they were mean to us, but they were going to feed us. But who wants the food if you got to get beat for the food, right? Amen. I don't want to pay that price, right? But he tries to convince you that although it may have been tough, it was better than where you are right now. But that's just an attack of the enemy or a trick of the enemy, amen? You see how he calls the children of Israel to maximize, again, the melons and the cucumbers that they used to eat, but they minimize the hard conditions and the stress that they were under. And when you are unable to quit the past, it actually creates unnecessary, continual pain and suffering. You have got to quit your past, amen? Bad as things were in Egypt, the known or the familiar seemed better to the children of Israel than the unknown to those who lack faith. But when you're in the middle or in a transitioning season, you will have to move away from how things used to be. Isaiah 43 and 18 tells us to forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past, because when you're always looking back, you cannot keep your eyes forward on where you're trying to go. So God is saying, just let that go. I know that's what you're used to, but if you trust me, I'm going to help you with every step you take. But if you don't ever take a step, I can't help you. Amen? So Philippians 3 and 13, this is the Apostle Paul telling us here that he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't know it all. I haven't gained everything. But this is one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I am reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he says here, forget those things which are behind you. I know it may seem like, you know, that's all I have are memories. And memories are good if you're going to grow from them. Memories are good if you're going to not let them keep you, you know, in bondage or in chains, but it's to help you see how far you've come. Amen. If you're going to use your memories as a benchmark for how far God has brought you, but not keep you held bound to that thing. Amen. So the first point, again, was you must be free from your past. And the second point is you have to focus on the present. When you are in the middle of your miracle, you've got to be focused and be present where you are right now. Because again, when you release the past, you're now allowing yourself to start accepting the present, what God is doing right now in your life. You begin to say, you know what? God really is at work right now. He really is doing some things. Yeah, it may not be how I fully want it to be, but right now, God is blessing me. You know, my children are healthy. I have a good job. I have great relationships. I have a great church. So I really don't have, I do have some things that I could complain about, but I won't waste this good time or this good breath on complaining when I realize that God is doing some things in my life. Let's read Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. It says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing what? A new thing. And when is it springing up? It's springing forth right now, right? Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So he says, right now, I am doing a new thing. Yes, it may be unfamiliar, but I'm doing a new thing. Yes, it may seem uncomfortable, but I'm doing a new thing. So can you not see that that's my hand at work in your life? Yes, I know you have not been here before, but if you trust me, I promise you, you're going to be all right. So get uncomfortable, get unsettled, do away with the familiar and let God teach you some things so that you can grow and be more of service to his kingdom. Amen. So in the middle of your miracle, focus on the present and be grateful for what God is doing right now. Right now, he is opening doors just for you. Right now, he is causing your name to move from the bottom to the top. Right now, he is bringing promotion and increase into your life because you are moving forward to him and with him in faith. Amen. So right now, God is blessing. So don't be so focused on what may have went wrong or what didn't work out. But that could have been just your plan and not God's plan. Amen. So let God continue to be the one who is leading you on this morning. When you focus on the present, you pay attention, you notice, and you appreciate. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. Because it could have been a lot worse. God, I thank you. I'm up today to give you praise. I thank you. you know, I may not have my own house, but I'm not outside sleeping on the side of the road. God, I thank you. I may have a little pain in my body, but guess what? I can still lift my hands. I can still raise my voice. I can still say, God, thank you. Because it could have been another way, amen? So during those 40 years of desert wandering, we see that the children of Israel, they will bless God, then they will curse God. They will bless God, then they will curse God. When things were going okay, they didn't really have a hard day. Oh, God's been good. But then when they get a little tired and hungry, they want those melons and cucumbers. Right? But we got to make sure that we're not just waiting for God to do the miraculous to give him thanks. But we got to be present in this moment and be thankful all the time, because God really did not have to bless us. But because he's a God that keeps his word, he keeps on blessing us, and he keeps on blessing us, and he keeps on blessing us. Amen. So don't allow what you see to cause you to become blind to everything that God is doing. You know, again, you may not have the newest car, but you're not walking. Amen. Amen? You may have to put oil in it every day, but you're not walking. Tune it up, you know, turn it, you know, start it with a screwdriver, but it's coming on, right? It's getting you to work every day, taking you to Food Lion. God, I thank you. I'm not paying no Uber bills, you know, taxi bills. That's more expensive, right? But God is always doing something that he deserves a praise for, amen? You know, Pastor teaches us all the time that comparison is a thief of contentment. When you're constantly comparing yourself to maybe somebody else, or comparing yourself to where you thought you should be, you're not able to be appreciative to what God is doing. So don't let the devil just have you just sitting there thinking about, well, if it was like this, you know, I wouldn't have this going on. But no, right now, I'm thankful. I'm content with what God has already done. Not that I don't, you know, keep dreaming for bigger, or that I don't keep, you know, believing that God's going to do more, but I'm not going to sit here and discredit all that he has done. Amen? So don't let comparison rob you of being content and grateful for what God is doing. Amen? So we just read here that God is saying, I'm doing a new thing, and now it springs forth. So you have to keep your eyes open. Be present in what God is doing. Amen? New can mean new territory. It can mean untraveled roads. But guess what? God has a plan. And you have to follow his plan, which leads me to point number 3. Have faith in his plan. Have faith in his plan. So unfortunately, not all of the children of Israel made it to the land of promise. You know, many of them died along the way because they were murmuring and complaining. And some of them died, you know, due to old age. But it was their children who were able to witness, you know, God's promised land, all those things that God had promised them. But don't miss out on what God wants to do because you're caught up in how it used to be, or because you're uncomfortable in the middle. Trust his plan, amen? Familiar scriptures, Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know what the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So God says, I have a plan, but you have to trust my plan, amen? Trust in the Lord where? With all your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which paths to take. So we have to realize that God will always make a way where there was no way. We saw that in the scripture we read in Exodus, how they come to this Red Sea. All they see before them is water. But God says, if you trust my plan, if you just stand still, let me do my job, I will make a way out of no way. Yeah, you may be looking at a brick wall right now, but God says, do you know who I am? A brick wall is nothing to me. You know, I could knock that down with just one breath, right? But again, you have to give God the brick wall. You've got to give God the thing that may be, you know, plaguing you or bothering you, and trust that, guess what? If I'm at this brick wall, God's going to give me a route to go around the wall, or God's going to knock this wall down just for me, because why? He's promised me something on the other side of that wall. Amen? Amen. So verse 6 says, but now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. So here again, they were complaining about not having their cucumbers and their melons and their leeks, right? All they saw was the manna. Manna was what God gave them every day to sustain them. Manna was that fresh food for them every day. He would, just like we have, you know, new mercies every day, they received fresh manna every day, food that was freshly made just for them every day. Initially, they were like, what is this? Because again, it was something new. It was something that they were not used to. But that manna is a substance that was miraculously supplied as food to the Israelites. And so today, that manna for you is an unexpected or gratuitous benefit. Every day, God is giving you a benefit. Every day, he loads us with benefits. That's the scripture, amen? So every day, you get fresh manna from God because why? You are his children. Every day, he's going to rain down something great that's going to benefit you greatly because you are his child. It is a sudden and unexpected source of pleasure or gain. So every day, I'm gaining new increase. Every day, I'm gaining new wisdom. Every day, I'm gaining new clients for my business. Every day, I'm gaining everything I need that's going to benefit me and make my life for the better. So today, I'm going to ask you to say goodbye to your past. Say goodbye to those things that were familiar. Say goodbye to those things that help you comfortable and welcome and say hello to God. I'm saying hello to your plan. I'm saying hello to what you want to do in my life. I'm saying hello to all those things that you get because you have a plan for my life. So I'm trusting your plan for my life. Even if I'm over here in the middle, I'm uncomfortable. Sitting beside people I don't know. I don't like the way they smell. It don't matter. I'm in his will. I'm across my legs. I know, I bought a ticket to get somewhere, right? I have a destination. So yeah, I may not know what's going on beside me. I don't know the person beside me, but I know that God already has a destination and a plan for my life. So I'm going to enjoy this middle seat. I'm going to put on my AirPods. I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm going to enjoy the journey. Why? Because I'm in his plan. I'm in his will. So you enjoy your middle seat. You enjoy your middle of your miracle. Why? Because God says, as long as you trust me, as long as you just let me be the lead and you follow, I just saw Mitch's shirt. I will lead where you follow, right? As long as God leads you and you follow him and stop trying to take your own paths. You can't get off the plane early. Just go ahead and you don't have your armrest, right? So just go ahead and keep your seatbelt on. And just enjoy the journey in the middle seat because God says, just keep trusting me. I got you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right there. So one of the things I was thinking about even now, you know, when you're in the middle seat, sometimes if there's room on the plane, they'll start moving you around. You can get free upgrades sometimes when you're in that middle seat. They say, oh, okay, you want a little bit more room? There's a seat up here for you. So you just don't be complaining. Don't be murmuring. Let go of the past. I know, again, it may be unfamiliar. It may not be comfortable. But if you trust God, I promise you, he's getting you to where you want to go. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let us pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for this word. We thank you, Father God, that we won't complain. We won't murmur. But we will be content in where you have us today. Even in the middle of our miracle, even in the middle where we don't know fully what you're doing, we trust your plan today. So, Father, we thank you for just, you know, receiving your word today. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. You are a God that never, ever leaves us alone or disappoints us, but you keep your word, and for that, we can stand on today with all certainty. We thank you, Father God, for those who are here today, either in person or online. We thank you, Father God, that today is a day for those who may not know you to choose you as their Lord and Savior today. We thank you for those who may be watching or who may be here today who are in a backslidden condition. We thank you, Father God, that they are going to get themselves back in position to receive all that you have for them. We even thank you for those who may be watching or who are here physically who are looking for a church where they can come and get all of their spiritual needs met today. We thank you, Father God, that they are going to answer these appeals this morning because we know that being connected to you is where our hope is and where our joy is and where we can fulfill all of our purposes in our lives. So we thank you, Father God, that if they're watching today and they want salvation, rededication, or church membership, all they have to do is just simply, if they're in the building, just take out one of the connection cards and fill it out in its entirety. And you're going to place it in the offering bucket as you leave the sanctuary today. If you're watching today and you want to answer the appeal for salvation, rededication, or church membership, online there is a link in the caption above. All you have to do is fill out that connection card by clicking that link above, and we're going to help you get all of your spiritual needs met today. So if you're answering the appeals for salvation, rededication, or church membership, we just want to pray for you today. We want you to know that there is a hope for you today, that there is help for you today, and you're not going through life alone. What we like to do here at WLCC is just help our members and our family beside us who may need to make this prayer, but they're a little nervous to say this prayer. So we all say it together. So if everyone who is in the room, if you repeat after me, we want to help those who may need to make this prayer today. If you repeat after me, say, Father, I thank you for saving me today. I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know that Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. So Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior, he's my Lord, and I always serve him. So, Father, we thank you for what you've done in every person's life today. We thank you, Father God, that you have been glorified and that you have been lifted up. And we thank you for the harvest of souls that have been added to your kingdom today. And we make this prayer together in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise right there on this morning?